have your Bibles this morning. Look at two or three different passages, but I want you to notice God originally made this whole world perfect. Garden of Eden. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Perfect peace. I mean, no noise, no fear, no anxiety. Perfect environment. The weather was perfect. You know, then God made man to tend to it. And it was man's job just to take care of the garden. And God would come and walk with man. Cool of the evening. What a perfect environment. And then God looked at man and said, you know, I don't want him to be alone during the daytime, so I'll make him a wife. Made Eve. They were perfectly together. Peace. Hebrew word for peace is safety. Secure. Happy. Greek word for peace, eirene, shalom, Hebrew word. Eirene is a Greek word. Literally means to join. In other words, harmony. Peace. So the Lord said with these angels, peace on earth. God recognizes that Adam and Eve ruined the peace that he made. He intended for the earth to be at perfect peace. He intended for husbands and wives to be at perfect peace. Safety, security, trust, together, harmony. But you know, whenever you take Jesus out, you lose the author of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, he is the author of peace. So God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who designed peace itself, who made it possible when you and I feel safe in our heart. He designed that. When you and I feel together with someone at peace and perfect harmony, he designed that. That's his intention of a marriage. I think some people think marriage is a sentence. God intended it to be harmony, peace. But it requires certain things. It requires both people. It requires every one of us on earth, if we're going to have peace, to say, Lord, I want more of you and less of me. And as long as I want more of me and less of you, there's going to be disharmony. There's going to be distrust. There's going to be trouble. And so he says in Isaiah 9:6, I am the Prince of Peace. So whenever Adam was made and Eve and the old devil slipped in and said, hey, look at that tree over there. That fruit is beautiful. Now, we don't know if it's an apple tree. It doesn't say that. Sorry about the apples getting all the trouble. But it wasn't, maybe it was a plum tree. I love plums. How many of you like plums? Somebody gave me this week a pear, one pear. Man, you bit into it, it just oozed out with juice. It was wonderful. Wow. Maybe it's a pear tree. But either way, it was so beautiful that Eve was tricked by the old devil. And whenever Adam agreed with her and they both took of the tree and ate of it, peace was lost. Because they had disobeyed the Lord. Disobedience always causes a lack of peace. Because peace is perfect harmony. It's two people together. It's a country together. It's a family together. And that's why God made this world, was that we could live in peace and he could live in peace with us. And so you'll remember in the very first, at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, what did God have to do? He said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam and Eve had hidden over behind some leaves and they were naked. And they said, we don't have any clothes. He said, who told you that? You're naked. So they're at perfect peace. No issues. And he knew they had partaken of the tree that he had said not to. He knew that before that. But then they knew he knew. And finally he said, okay, You have to get out. So he kicked him out of the Garden of Eden and he set an angel there with the sword. Turned all different directions and said, peace is gone. And peace has been gone for 6,000 years. And the only way to get peace, any way, shape, or form, is to get more of Jesus. That's it. He's the author of peace. He can take the most disharmonious position in a group of families or people or places or workplace and bring it to peace. He can bring peace. He's the author of peace. The devil is the author of confusion. And I want you to notice today there's three areas of peace we all need to take a look at. Number one, peace with God's first. Have your Bible turned to Romans chapter 5. I want you to notice this verse. Romans chapter 5. Peace with God, agreement with God, harmony with the Lord. Notice with me, if you would, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we celebrate Christmas and we rejoice in Christmas. But I don't think we understand that Christmas was the beginning to the end. It was the beginning for the end. Without Christmas, there would have been no cross. Jesus had to be born in this life, had to have physical blood so that he could shed his perfect blood for you and I. It had to be a virgin birth so there was no human blood in his body. Human blood is all tainted. That's the reason no one can die for anybody in this room, because all of our sin is one of our characteristics of our blood. If you have little ones that are born in our families and if you're tall, then that trait can be passed down. If you're blue-eyed, blue eyes can be passed down. More than likely it will be if you have three or four children. Usually those traits get passed down. If you have red hair in your generation someplace back, or you, that red hair can come back. It's a trait. Well, the one trait that gets passed down to everybody from every family is sin. And so you don't have to teach children to do anything wrong. It's just natural. You have to teach them about peace and the author of peace. Because it's our nature to do that which is wrong, all of us. It's inbred in us from Adam. And so God's Son had to be born from some not human male. And so the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and his blood was perfect. So the Bible says, for God hath made him, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ had to come to this world and be born. And I cannot imagine the price of peace being so exorbitant. As keep in mind, Jesus is the King of heaven. All the angels worship him. There's perfect harmony in heaven. No disagreement. Father and his Son are in perfect harmony. And yet they both love mankind. And so God the Father looked at the Son and said, Son, there's no way to get them to heaven. They've sinned. Adam disobeyed. Their lives are ruined. And if you look at Luke chapter 16, and Abraham looked at the rich man and said, beside this, there's a great gulf fixed between you and us. That great gulf is our sin. God has placed a great gulf. And that's the reason why none of this in the room, no one can bridge that gulf. We're sinners. If you could live perfect from this day forward and never sin again. One day, years ago, young, dumb, and not very spiritual, I said, today I'm going to live a perfect day. One of these days I'm going to live a perfect day. I said, tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to live the perfect day. I'm not going to do one thing wrong. You get up. You're hurt. Maybe pull a muscle. Man, I sure wished I could be like so-and-so and not have this pain. Now I'm coveting somebody else's health. Well, Lord, I'll start the next day. The next day comes and my mom wakes me up and I have to get out of bed this early. Blood. complaining. I'll start the next day. You know what? I've been starting that next day for about 70 years almost. I can't get one yet. I can't live one perfect day, no matter how hard I try. I can't even make it till noon. I get to work and see Brandon and fall into sin. That just all happens. That just happens. I just can't do it. I get in my car and I start driving and I see that beautiful new truck driving beside me. I said, man, I'd like to have me a truck like that. Covetousness. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm happy with what I got. I can't even make it till 8 o'clock in the morning. So you know what? God looked at his son and said, look, there's nobody can pay their debt of sin but you. Would you go to the old earth? I know it's not peaceful. I know there's war and tensions and pressures. Would you go there and live the perfect life David Pittman could not and die for him? Now, the death is a terrible death because I've got to shed your blood. It'll be on the cross. It's not even been invented yet, but it's one of the most horrific ways of death known to man. It's them and their cruelty, son. They're going to use it on you, but it'll shed your blood. And then, son, you can take your blood and wash away David Pittman's sins and Brandon Lawrence's sins, Sam Moore's sins, Christopher's sins, Matt's sins. Matter of fact, son, you can wash away the sins of the whole world. And whosoever shall call upon your name shall be saved. And they can have peace. And Jesus started taking his robe off. I'll go, Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he was born in a manger, and that's what we celebrate Christmas for. And somehow that has become so wonderful in our society. But people don't understand what it means. It's the author of peace has come. He's come to offer peace to everybody in this room. Peace between you and the God of heaven. Peace so that great bridge can be built over the gulf that is your sin that prevents you from going to heaven. Peace that allows you, if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. I want you to see this verse. Ephesians chapter number 2. Notice if therefore, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past in the flesh. Verse 12. That time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel as a Jew, and strangers from the covenants of promise, there as the Gentiles, having no hope, this is Ephesians 2:12, and without God in the world, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So when he shed his blood on the cross, it brought us nigh to the Lord. And notice verse 14, for he is our what? Peace. With made both one. What does it mean? He's made it where God can forgive us and we're at peace. Do you know the way you get forgiven? You ask for forgiveness. Somebody asks and somebody sends it away. Somebody grants it. So you and I say, Lord, because of what Jesus did, would you look at his payment and forgive me? Now that is as sorry as I know of. I can't do that at the bank. I can't go to the bank and say, Lord, would you look at John Manchesky's bank account and pay off my debt? They go, no, we're not doing that. But God the Father said, if you come to me, I'll look at Jesus' payment and forgive your sin. Wow. I'll make peace between you and I. And it'll be Jesus, my son. He makes peace between us. He brings us together. He brings harmony between you and I. And I no longer look at your sin. I don't know how that works. How that God, I do know this. When I put on my sunglasses, I can see the sun, but it sort of blots out the glare. And I think when God the Father sees me through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees perfection. Even though I'm a sinner. He sees you perfect. Hebrews 10:14, by the which will we're saved, the offering the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And he hath perfected them forever. Made us perfect. Peace. Perfect peace between you and God. If you're here today and you say, I mean, it's going to be Christmas morning and you get up and go open the presents and know all the excitement about all of that and all that the kids are excited about and you're excited about and maybe you're excited about the meal or whatever else. Don't forget one thing. Do you have peace between you and the Lord? Is there peace between you and him right now? If he called us home, if he said, all of my children come home, would you hear the trumpet? Is there peace between you and God? Have you come to him and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned. There's great difference between us. But Lord, would you take the blood of Christ that he paid on the cross and blotted out my sin? Would you forgive me for Jesus' sake? That brings peace to your soul. If you don't have that this morning, you're in trouble. There's disharmony between you and God. And the Bible says you're without hope. That's why Christmas is so wonderful. It's hope. It's peace. It's joy. When there's peace between people, there's joy. I can remember some joyful times in my family. I remember when missionary would come over. I remember one missionary came over from Mexico and he told wonderful stories about people that gotten saved. And my mom and dad loved to cook and my dad was very generous and we fixed all this meat. And I loved when the missionaries came over because what that meant was food. And man, he got chickens and cut them in half and put them on the grill. And then he got steaks and then he got, oh man, it was wonderful. I'd go outside and just smell it once. So I'd go back inside and mom's fixing stuff. Go back outside and smell. Go inside. I said, man, this is wonderful. I love missionaries. Wow. I was a spiritual young man. It was wonderful. And then all of a sudden we'd sit down and eat and oh, it was wonderful. And I remember those times as we'd sit down and I remember sitting at the feet of one of these missionaries just listening to the stories. It was peace in the home. There was only one enemy and that was the old devil and trying to see people saved. But there was peace in the Pittman house. And then something happened. And there was no peace. And that something that happened was not because Jesus didn't fill our hearts. He saved us. He saved my mom, my dad, me, my brother. All of us were saved. We all realized that the cross was the result of the baby being born. Jesus Christ. That's why he was born. To die. Born to die. That was his purpose in life. You know, that's not our purpose. We're not born to die. We're born to live. Jesus Christ says, I want you to be born in this world. And I want you to trust me and I can make you alive forevermore. And so, do you have peace with God this morning? And then there's, you know, there's peace with others. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians 4. And notice with me, if you would, verse number 1. Let's just take just a minute and assume that everybody in this room, now this is not true. I'm sure in a crowd this size, there are people that have never trusted Christ as Savior. Now, God knows he's got a book in heaven. And whosoever is not found written, the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. So God has a book in heaven with everybody's names written. It's going to heaven. Is your name in that book? Have you come to Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive you of your sin and take you to heaven when you die? This past, on Friday, Brother Fralick went home to be with the Lord. He called me about 3 weeks ago and said, Pastor, could you come down? I need to talk to you. Drove down to Williamsburg, went into his room and he asked me a couple of questions. One of them was, Pastor, am I going to die? And, I just want to make sure I'm ready. So I went back when he trusted the Lord. You see, I told in Sunday school this morning, when we built the first building, Mark Fralick's company built it. And the people, our people, you, were so joyful, so generous. We invited all the workers over and had a big meal for them. And during the whole course of the process, there was a peace and unity. Everybody's working together. We were doing painting and we were doing all kinds of stuff and fixing stuff around the buildings. And everybody worked together. And he said, I've never seen anything like this. And he called me outside the door and he said, would you come over to my house? And would you and Susan tell my wife and I what y'all have that I don't have? And we ever lead he and his wife to Christ. Want to know why? There was peace in this place. And he could see it. Now you can't see peace. Just like you can't see the wind. You can see the result of it. You can feel it. You can feel peace. There's a calm that's there. There's a joy that's there. There's a happiness. There's a harmony. And Jesus said, I'll give that to your soul between you and the Lord, you and my Father, and I want you to have it between you and others. Now notice if you would, Ephesians 4, look if you would, verse 1. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul speaking, beseech you, plead with you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What vocation? That you're a Christian. That you represent peace to the world. That you're the light of the world. That's your calling. You might say, no, Pastor, I'm called to be an electrician. No, you're not. You're called to be a peacemaker. Read the Sermon on the Mount. We're all to be peacemakers. Why do we fuss and fight and argue? I hear people all the time say, well, you know, that's brothers. They just fight and argue. No, that's sin. Whenever Jesus comes and the author of peace is in your heart, you don't fuss, fight, and argue. It's not right. It's not right between husbands and wives. It's not right between brothers and sisters. It's not right between employees and employers. It's not right between anybody on earth. It is the result of sin, but it is not the presence of the Lord Jesus. Peace is what he brings. So if there's not harmony between you and somebody, look in the mirror and say, what part of this is mine? Because everybody in this room is a sinner. Every one of us. Notice if you would, verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness. There's the reason there's not peace. We're proud and haughty. You can't do that to me. That's not fair. Folks, today, everybody in this room, you ought to take the word fair and throw it out of your vocabulary. That is a earthly word. Was it fair that Jesus left heaven and was born in a manger? How many of you know what a manger is? No, I don't mean the whole thing you put up here and put straw in it. How many have been to a manger? See your hand. I remember my grandfather, we had a manger. I mean, it's a place where they put the food for the animals. I remember going into it. First of all, mangers are in barns. And I remember going into it, walking in the mud, getting into the barn, getting the feet off, the mud out between my toes, and because I didn't wear shoes, and I'd get my walk in and walk into the barn, and every once in a while there would be other things on my feet other than the mud, so you get that off, and you could smell stuff, and there were flies all around, and you go over to the manger, and there the place is for all the food stuff and hay and straw, and I'd get the alfalfa hay and I'd spread it all out and put it in there, and the cows come over and they'd eat right there, and there was rats running around on the floor at the barn. Mice. And there were flies everywhere. There was a smell. How many have ever been in a barn? How many ever mucked a stall? How many know what that means? Oh, good. Brother Ken, what does that mean? Clean it out. It's called mucking a stall because it's not got good stuff in the stall. So you clean it all out. Can you imagine? The stall's got a manger in it. That's where the King of Heaven was born. For you. And he said, I'm beseeching you. I'm pleading with you. I've called you to bring peace to this world. Why is there no peace in the world? No peace in our homes. No peace in our hearts. When there's peace in your heart, people can see it. It's evident. You can't write peace on your forehead like the Pharisees and the scribes did write verses on the Bible. Peace unto all men. You walk around and people can see if there's peace in your heart by the smile on your face, if it's real or not. They can tell if there's peace. You can walk into a home and tell if there's peace there. The Lord Jesus said, my peace I leave with you.
So you and I, all of us can have peace in this room, but notice what he says. It's got to be a lowliness of mind and meekness of mind. No, you've got to consider everybody else as more important than yourself. Do we do that? That's the secret to peace. Everybody else is more important than me. Oh. Ah. If my brother gets my ball one more time, there's not going to be peace. If that son of mine puts those clothes down that floor one more time, there's going to be war on earth. If those kids throw their paper on the floor one more time in my classroom, if they knock those desks out of line one more time, you know what? All of a sudden, blah, 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 and peace is gone. But when we consider ourselves as servants of the Lord and not as important as the students in the classroom or the wife that we live with or the husband that we live with or the children that we live with or the people that we work with, all of a sudden this lowliness of mind causes us to say, what can I do to better serve them? Ooh, that brings peace. Because our rights we've given up. When you pick up your rights, there's not going to be peace because your rights are always going to be violated. Always. Because we're sinners. How many of you, let me see here. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody or hurt anybody at all. Okay? Let me see here. Vince and Lisa. How long have y'all been married, Vince? Oh, that's not good, Vince. Oh, I'm sorry. I blew it. 27 years. When you have to look at your wife, it's how many years? It's not a good thing, okay? So, X number one for Vince, okay? Now, Vince, has there ever been a time when you and your wife, maybe things weren't totally harmonious? Don't say anything. Okay? But if there is, one of you didn't do the right thing. Probably both of you. Let me see here. Brother Moore. Brother Eddie. I know you're married to a saint, and she's not. I understand that. But anytime there's disharmony between you two, it's always somebody didn't do the right thing. It's always, hey, look, I didn't deserve that. My rights. Has you ever felt like sometimes she didn't do the right thing or he didn't do the right thing, and it wells up in her heart? You know what that means? Peace is gone. And somebody's got to say, wait a minute. Peace is worth far more than me being upset at my wife. Forgive me. I'm going to send it away. Notice what he says. Lowliness, meekness with long suffering. In other words, I'm going to put up with stuff a lot longer than I think I should. Well, I did that, Pastor. Forbearing one another in love. You know what that means? Carrying each other. In love. If you want peace, you have to carry somebody. And they're not doing the right thing. Hey, if Christians are supposed to love our enemies, what in the world are we supposed to do to our brothers or sisters? What are we supposed to do with the neighbor next door? If we're to love our enemies and those that despitefully use us, what are we supposed to do to the husband that the wife gave us? I mean, if the Lord gave to the wife or the wife that the Lord gave to the husband and he gave it to us as a favor and a blessing of the Lord. You know what happens? We have stopped. Notice in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of, there it is, peace. Endeavoring, working, laboring, doing my best to be lowly, do my best to be forgiving, do my best to be patient, do my best to be long-suffering, do my best to carry her when she's struggling. You know, when my wife's kidneys failed, she had to go to the Diabetes Center out here in Leesburg, across the street from the hospital. And she was scared. She had no peace. The doctors and nurses and, you know, people have made mistakes and she had multiple surgeries and some of them were because a doctor would make a mistake and you know, but you just can't, you have to, how many of you realize doctors are sinners? I know we want them to be perfect, but they're not. How many of you believe lawyers are sinners? That's a lot more hands that time. I noticed that. But you know what? Nurses are very sweet, but sometimes they can make a mistake. And when they'd make a mistake with my wife and take too much fluid off her body, she'd get started getting sick, start throwing up. And I'd check the numbers and say, why did you take so much off? And I'm sorry. And so she said, honey, if you just stay here while I go to the Dallas Center, I'd sure appreciate it. And I can remember a horrible thought. Lord, I'm not sure I have time to go be there. Surely she can handle that. Then I saw her. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I said, I don't know how I can be there with her, Lord, and still serve at the church, but Lord, I'll try. And she pled with me to be there with her. I'm thinking, it's 3 to 4 hours every other day. And it was in the afternoon at 1 o'clock to about 5. I said, Lord, how can I serve my wife and serve the church too? Now, I know my wife is first. Lord, if you want me to give up the church, I will. She said, I don't want you to give up church. I said, but Lord, I can't do both. So you know what I did? I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then, you know, being the brilliant wife she was, she looked at me and said, honey, I bet if you asked the deacons if you could study in the lobby, they'd let you. Now, I've never studied anyplace else but the office. I trained myself not to study at home because if somebody needed something, I was here. All the pastors I worked for, God bless them, they all studied at home and they weren't available on purpose because people come and bother you when you're in your office. And I said, you know, I'm here to be bothered, aren't we? So I said, well, I want to study in the office. I said, but Lord, I can't be in the office. And then it was like the Lord said, and who are supposed to serve first? Okay, Lord. So I went to the deacons. I said, guys, could I study in the lobby of the Dallas Center? They said, sure. I can. Well, sure. I went, wow. Could I study at Texas Stadium? Could I do that? Could I study it? And so that next day I got my books, got them in the roller, walked there, and went into the lobby of the Dallas Center, got her all in her room, and got her all set up, and got her in the chair, and got her electric blanket on her, and set up the dials. The nurse set up the dials. I checked everything, made sure everything was right. I took her phone, got it all dialed up, and said, push that button, and I'll come running in, honey. And I was about 40 feet outside the door, and I went into the lobby, and guess what? Nobody was in the lobby. And all the time I was there, 6 months, that I remember, there was not one person ever came to the lobby. I wonder who did that. The Lord said, if you work at making peace and helping your wife be secure, I'll take care of the rest of it. I was just praying nobody tried to get in the lobby. God might kill them. I don't know what happened. They said, get out of the lobby. I was just thrilled what the Lord did for me. And I backed up and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have thought of this. And so she'd take her dialysis. If she needed me, she'd push that button, my phone would ring, and I'm running in there. You know what? I was her peace. Now, she trusted the Lord. You know that. But she just wanted to make sure I was there. Do you know what? You and I need to learn to trust the Lord. Lord, I need you. And He is your peace. He's not 40 feet away. He's right there. But I would ask you, is there peace between you and everybody on earth? I came to bring peace to the earth. I am the Prince of peace. But then there's one other thing, is peace within yourself. You know, if you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4 and we'll close. Philippians chapter 4. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 6, we all know this. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. How many of you have done that? You sin. See, I'd get up in the morning and say, I'm going to live a perfect day, and I'd worry about the day. I already blew it before I got out of bed very far. I get up, I got this thing on my calendar. You know, my phone comes up and it gives me a list of things I got to do. And I say, oh, Lord, can you help me with this one? I don't know, what about that one, you know. But I looked at it first and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. And then all of a sudden, I'm reminded, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. You begin to fret about things. How many of you have ever gone into your closet and worried about, does that match? Is that the right thing to wear today? Anybody ever thought about wearing stuff? Have you ever worried about what you wore for the day? Anybody here ever worried about what you wore for the day? Syrian. Let me see it. Come on, chickens. Come on, let me see it. We've all almost do that. We'll go to our closet, look at it and say, does that match? Sometimes I go, that's the reason why I was so comfortable and so at peace when I had all white shirts. And then my wife would buy a yellow one and a purple one and this. She said, oh, I love that. And I say, and Jeanette Johnson was one of the problems back then. She took my wife. When she couldn't go, she would take her and they'd go buy these shirts. Come out and say, look at these, honey. I said, oh, honey. Peace was gone right there. So this is almost white. But I lay those shirts up there. Which one? And then which tie? How many of you have got more than one ties? John, how many ties have you got? Two. Lied. There's a lie right there. Deacon's lying on the front row. Do you understand today? We're worried about all kinds of little things. The car got gas in it. What does that knock? Is the insurance paid? Oh, my goodness. How much am I going to have the money for this? How is it going to take me to pay for Christmas? And did I get the right? How many of you got to worry about wrapping presents? You haven't wrapped your presents yet. Don't raise your hand because you're behind. But we've got all these worries and burdens of life, and we'll get them all done, but we stress through life. And the Lord says, I want my children to live in peace every hour of every day. So what he says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer, Lord, I just want to remind you, could you help me pay this bill? Supplication, Lord. Lord, I desperately need a job. Lord, I need this or I need that. Lord, you know that. And we beg and plead with the Lord. There's supplication. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Lord, I'll trust you whatever you do. Lord, I trust you, Lord. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do in advance. Let your requests be made known unto God. We don't order God. We don't demand from God. We request. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. When God gives you peace of heart, it's beyond what you can think. You just can't imagine. One of the hardest things, I know that Mary Turner's here today, one of the hardest things about Mary Turner, Brother Tom going to heaven and Susan going to heaven, is that the joys that we had with our mates and that harmony is gone. Doesn't mean that we're without peace, because the Lord Jesus is our peace. But we all begin to put our trust in peace in someone else if we're not careful. Children do it all the time. That's why we have to teach them, let your peace be in the Lord. You know, today, everybody in this room, I want to close with this. My time's out. In Philippians 4 and verse 7, he says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Heart is your emotion. Mind is the way you think. We don't allow ourselves to think about all the doubts that would happen. And there's a calm in our spirit. If you go, yesterday I checked my blood pressure. Supposed to do that. How many of you check your blood pressure from time to time? How many don't care what your blood pressure is? Okay. All right. And so I'm supposed to check mine every once in a while. It was 102/68, and I was just terrified. I hadn't checked it in about a month. And so I'd watch what I eat. And I watch, I'm exercising a bit here and there, and I'm trying to do everything I can do. Okay, Lord, this is the day. I'll check my blood pressure. Okay, Lord. Lord, please let it be okay. And you know, there's a second where there's nothing goes on. You don't know what's going to happen. And then the numbers pop up. 102 over 68. I went, well, that's good. I'm not dying yet. Wow. That's cool. That's great. All that worry and stress over nothing. All that not eating barbecue potato chips for nothing. French fries for nothing. You know what it says? Talk to me. Trust me. Do what you're supposed to do, but I am your peace. Do you have peace today between you and the Lord? Do you have peace today between you and anybody else on earth? Husband, wife, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. Are you looking forward to Christmas because of family? Humble yourself to the Lord and you can have a good Christmas. Is it right between you and the Lord? In other words, with yourself. Have you forgiven yourself for things you've done? Have you learned to trust, throw it over to the Lord? Lord, I can't carry this anymore. I'll trust you. Is he your peace this morning? He has the ability to be your safety net. Everything you worry about, he can take care of it. Shalom. He can bring unity to any environment you have. Husband, wife, Irene, together. Two shall be one. And if you've trusted him as Savior, there's already a peace that passes all understanding in your heart. Today, do you have peace at Christmas? He tells the shepherds, peace be unto you. Because Jesus is coming. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer this morning. I know I've gone a little long today, but boy, what a great thought peace is at Christmas time. Maybe you're here today and you say, this pastor, if I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. Would you let me pray for you this morning? I promise you I won't embarrass you. I won't ask you about it. I won't come to you. I just want to know if there's peace in your heart. Brother Mark asked me. We went over it. It was settled in his heart. But you're here today and say, Pastor, if I died this moment, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm thinking about it. Concerned about it. Would you just let me pray for you? I may not even know your name. If you're a visitor, I won't. But I just bring the Lord your position. The Lord will know that. And your name, he'll know that. And I ask him to help you. Would you let me pray for you this morning? Pastor, if I die today, there's not peace in my heart about my soul. Would you let me pray for you this morning? Just slip your hand up. Mom, dad, brother, sister, young boy, young girl. Just put it up right back down. Pastor, pray for me. Maybe you're here today and you say, this pastor, there's some people in this world that I don't have peace with. And I want peace. And maybe you haven't humbled yourself. You're still hung up on fear. Maybe you're here today and you would like to have some peace in your own spirit. You're worryful. You're always concerned about things. You carry everything on yourself. You just worry too much. Say, Pastor, I'd like to have internal peace. I'd like to be able to just trust the Lord for my safety, for my security, for my harmony. I'd like to have peace in my soul, my spirit. Would you let me pray for you? Would you slip up your hand all over the building? That's right. All over. That's right. Yes. Pastor, pray for me. I'm carrying a weight today. Would you pray for me that I'll be able to give it to the Lord? That's right. Maybe you, if you're struggling with someone else, maybe there's somebody at work or even somebody in the family or whatever. Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I want peace with everybody. Would you raise your hand? Let me see it all over. That's right. Yes. 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 We're going to have a word of prayer. Stand to sing. We'll not play long. The Lord Jesus came to give us peace. He's the author of peace. He defined it. He made it. And He can give it to you in every situation. Will you come to Him this morning and say, Lord, I need Your peace. Have a great Christmas. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. You saw the hands. Lord, would You touch their hearts? Lord, You see hearts that are not saved. Would You help them to come this morning? Dear Lord Jesus, would You give them the courage to realize that no one would laugh, everyone would rejoice, and Lord, heaven would rejoice if they would come.